as he crossed the room to her side. "Sit, please." It was an effort to speak. There was no time for discussion now, or apologies, even if she had wished to make them, which she did not. He sat. Now that he was close, she could smell on him the night cold and the scent of the city. She could not see him, but she did not need to. She knew every plane of his face, each line, each curve. It was as though they were written on her heart, an indelible picture. There was something she needed to tell him. She fought for the strength to speak.
"The crystal mirror."
"I will get it back. I swear it," he replied instantly. A second later, his hand grasped hers, warm and reassuring, but still she shook her head. She knew it was too late.
"It will elude you," she said.
He had never understood the power of the Order of the Rosy Cross, or its instruments, though perhaps he did now that the damage was done.
"Danger to you,"
she tried one last time to warn him.
"Take care, or it will destroy you and your kin, as it did me and mine."
She was gasping for breath, frightened. His fingers tightened on hers.
"I understand. Believe me."
She felt the knot inside her ease. She had to trust him. There was no alternative. Her life was unraveling like a skein of wool. Soon the thread would run out.
"I want you to take this. Keep it safe. Hidden."
With an effort, she opened her eyes and unclenched the fingers of her right hand. A huge pearl spilled into her lap, glowing with baleful fire in the subdued light. Even now, looking on it for the last time, she could not like it for all its ethereal beauty. It was too powerful. It was not the fault of the jewel, of course, but of the men who had sought to use it for their own wicked purposes. Both mirror and pearl had once been a force for good, strong and protective, until their power had been corrupted through the greed of men. The knights had been warned not to misuse the instruments of the Order, and they had disobeyed. They had unleashed destruction through fire and water, just as the prophecy had foretold. She heard the catch of Craven's breath.
"The Sistrin pearl should be given to your heir." "Not yet."
She was so very tired now, but this last task must be completed.
"You need to break the link between the pearl and the mirror. One day, the mirror will return, and then it must be destroyed. Keep the pearl safe until that is done."
Craven did not refuse her gift or tell her that he had no time for superstition. Once he had scorned her beliefs. No longer. She watched him scoop up the pearl on its heavy gold chain and stow it within his shirt. His face was grave and set, as though he was facing battle. Such was the weight of her commission.
"Thank you."
Her smile was weary. Her eyes closed.
"I can sleep now."
There was a sudden commotion. The door swung back with a crash and a protesting creak of hinges. Voices, loud, commanding. Footsteps equally loud. Her son Rupert, come to be with her at the end. Always hasty, always late. There was so little time now. She opened her eyes again. The room swam with shadows, and the red and gold of firelight, but she felt cold. She looked on Craven for the last time. Grief was etched deep into his face. "Old," she thought. "We have had our time." The loss cut her like a knife.
"If only."
"William," she said. "I am sorry. I wish we had another chance." His face lightened. He gave her the smile that had shaken her heart from the moment she had first seen him.
"Perhaps we shall," he said. "In another life." She forgot that.